Prague has been particularly generous to art enthusiasts this summer, with a number of exhibitions ranging from the abstract painters František Kupka and Piet Mondrian at Museum Kampa, to the modernist Emil Filla at Prague Castle and contemporary Czech art at the City Gallery. But one of the greatest treats at the moment for Czech art lovers is a large retrospective of works by the great Jan Zrzavý at the Czech Senate.
If it had been my choice, I would never have wanted to be born into this landscape here. I can't really say I don't like it. It's nice, but it's not a painter's landscape. The colors here are so crude. The green here is green, black is black, blue is blue, and there are no other colors. It's all terribly sad and tragic. This is a tragic landscape.
This is Jan Zrzavý talking in 1969 about his home in the Bohemian Moravian Highlands. Born in 1890 in the village of Okraulice near Havlíčkův Brod to a rather poor family, he had eight brothers and sisters, Jan left his native Vysočina in 1906 to study at a technical school in Brno. He became quite ill at the time. His parents thought he was going to die young and let him go to Prague and paint, just to make the rest of his life more pleasant. But Zrzavý had quite a different perspective in mind. In the autumn of 1907, at the age of 17, he was already an aspiring artist and decided to go where all real artists belong, to Paris. With very little money and nobody to help him in the beginning, he looked in vain for a job and had to return to Prague after only a week's stay. Karel Serb, curator at the City Gallery Prague and the author of a monograph on Zrzavý, says the journey proved to be decisive in the painter's life.
That journey failed because he got there with no money and without his parents' approval. He took this trip on his own and it somehow initiated his adult life. This journey had a deep and lasting impact on his life. He went to the Louvre and he also became familiar with modern French art. However, he distanced himself from it all his life. His visit to the Louvre, where he saw the work of Leonardo da Vinci and other Italian medieval and Renaissance painters, was crucial and he drew on this all his life. Seeing the Mona Lisa was fundamental for him. This trip brought him irrevocably to art.
After Jan Zrzavý came back from the trip, with his mind full of fresh experiences and impressions of what he had seen, he made a pastel which he called Údolí smutku, or Valley of Sorrow. The following year he worked it over with oil colors. It depicts a landscape lined with small hills and green mountains in the background, and a girl in a long dress standing under a slim tree. In 1969 Jan Zrzavý explained.
At that time, I didn't think of how the painting was made. It was all strange to me, and I was happy because that was my first painting, a real one. Only much later, when people were talking about it, and about the influences and how things came about, I knew that there was Munch above all. The landscape and the mountains are from the Mona Lisa I had seen before in Paris. That brown landscape, the small hills, the trees were from Bavaria I rode through on the train. And the girl, well, girls were like that then. They wore long skirts and those hats.
Zrzavý realized it was time for some proper artistic training. He enrolled at Prague's Academy of Art and Architecture, but was expelled after 2 years. He then tried to apply to the Academy of Fine Arts 4 times, but was rejected on every occasion. A professor even told him he should quit art for good and become a gardener instead. He didn't. He was featured in several exhibitions by then, and, more importantly, met the cubist painter Bohumil Kubišta, 6 years his senior, who influenced him profoundly. Jan Zrzavý again.
Cold colors like blue, green, purple, they're the colors of sorrow, they evoke sorrow. While orange or red, these are live colors, tragic and at the same time joyful, lively and dramatic. Yellow for me was the color of love, of a state of felicity. I had my own theory of color, but Kubišta taught me to use colors as a composition or construction means in building up space. I put his teachings to good use working on Cleopatra.
It was during the first two decades of the 20th century when Zrzavi created the paintings that are most highly valued by today's critics and art historians. With works such as Meditation, Grief, Remember, and Antichrist, he became a leading figure in modern Czech art, fully exploiting his inspiration by old Renaissance masters and combining it with symbolist and modernist influences. In 1923, Jan Zrzavi went back to Paris and lived in France on and off for the next 15 years. Only in 1938 did he come back to Prague, a decision affected by the French betrayal of their Czechoslovak allies in what became an overture to the Second World War. After the war, he returned briefly to France, but the Iron Curtain soon fell between Prague and his beloved Brittany. He was not persecuted by the communist regime, he was simply ignored. Karel Serb of the City Gallery Prague.
Zrzavi vždy a pravidelně vystavoval během
prvé. Zrzavi exhibited regularly during the First Republic, and his sales exhibitions from 1918 to 1938 were always successful. In the 1950s, Zrzavi was blacklisted. His work was not very approachable. It worked with idealistic premises that could hardly meet the criteria of socialist realism, and he exhibited very little. He was not banned, but his exhibitions were simply not held. He did have some exhibitions outside Prague of his current works, including a beautiful series of male nudes, which was never on display again. It was only at the beginning of the 1960s that he was fully rehabilitated, at the exhibition entitled The World of Jan Zrzavi in the Manes Exhibition Hall in Prague. It was one of his most successful exhibitions ever.
The success of the Manes exhibition and the crowds that came to see it, more than 100,000 spectators came, made the authorities change their mind about Jan Zrzavi. Several years later, he was presented with the title of National Artist, the highest award given to artists under communism. He lived in Prague and in his native Okrouhlice and worked on the themes he was fascinated by all his life. The painting of Cleopatra, for example, took him an incredible 45 years from the first idea to the last stroke. Jan Zrzavi died in 1977 and was buried near the place of his birth in Krucemburg, where his father's family came from. The current exhibition of Jan Zrzavi's work is held by the National Gallery in the Wallstein Riding School in Malá Strana, a part of the Czech Senate. It runs until September the 16th. Ondřej Chrobák of the National Gallery explained how it differs from various Zrzavi exhibits in the past.
This exhibition is different in that the National Gallery wanted to show the work of Jan Zrzavi in its complexity, not just his paintings and then separately his drawings, as was the case in 1990. Now they're displayed together. For example, visitors can, for the first time ever, compare the large painting of Cleopatra, arguably the best-known painting by Zrzavi, with a preparative pencil drawing of the same format. There are more such encounters of drawings with paintings.
With very few exceptions, the exhibition features all of his major pieces, from Valley of Sorrow of 1908 to his late works from the 1960s and 70s. You can see for yourself if he succeeded in materializing his views on life and art he described in a pre-war interview. I love the forthright and serene life that is not blurred by passion, just quietly observing the essence of things and rejoicing at their beauty.